Hello, how's everybody doing? Great. So we were at Hits 3 or 4 years ago, and just like then, it is also raining, so thank you. Why do I get the bad weather in LA? I don't understand. This is supposed to be, you guys are supposed to be like trying to trump us up in SF. So I'm Aaron Levy, CEO, co-founder of Box. What I wanted to do is share a little bit of what we're kind of seeing across our customer landscape and across the world of business around digital transformation. I think it'll kind of play against some of the themes that were just discussed. And this is sort of from our kind of perspective, our sort of prism on the world, and some of the things that are kind of big priorities for us and what we're looking at. So Box was started back in 2005. We actually started in Los Angeles, so we launched it in 2005. I was going to school at USC in 2004, and at that time was doing a lot of work both on campus, doing a lot of kind of sharing of data, sharing of information, and then I actually had an internship at Paramount Pictures and was doing a lot of sharing and collaboration there. And in both environments, it felt like there was a big opportunity to be able to work in faster and simpler and easier ways. So at school, we had to use sort of USB thumb drives and FTP accounts, and we had to sort of email ourselves files, which led to a lot of different problems. It was like a high-end system at the time. We had 50 megabytes of email storage, so like really powerful technology. You actually had to like delete the emails every 6 months or so. I think it like auto-deleted, and you had to like break out your files into multiple parts if you wanted to email anything. And then just to sort of aggravate measures even further at work. On the opposite end, where on the school side, you were just using really, you just brought your own technology to solve the problem. At work, at my internship, we used Lotus Notes, and that was sort of how we were collaborating. And so in both environments, in the environment where we had so much technology, and in the environment where we had no technology, it was still way too hard to be able to share and collaborate. And so we saw that there was this confluence of technology back in 2005 that we felt was going to completely change how people would want to work and share and collaborate and get their information from anywhere. And the three big trends that I think we all kind of know about, pretty well today was we saw that there would eventually be this rise in mobile computing and mobile devices. And at the time, we were real visionaries. We said, in the future, there are going to be tens of millions of people using BlackBerries. And that was sort of our vision of the future of mobility. So we were right on that mobile trend, right on the beginning. So fortunately, we got lucky, and we were very wrong about that. And it turned out that iPhone took over and Android, and we had all these modern mobile platforms. And then cloud computing was a massive sort of right around 2005. We were starting to see this ability to have centralized computing where you could put everything online and it would be cheaper and simpler and you'd be able to scale infinitely. And then the final trend was that we thought we were going to be moving into sort of this networked economy. Like if everybody joined the internet, at the time there was a few hundred million people, I think, on high-speed internet, and then you could kind of just watch the growth rate and eventually imagine there would be billions of people online. We felt that the whole world was going to be networked, which would completely change how people would want to share, communicate, and get their work done. And so those are the big three trends that we kind of were the reasons why we started Box in 2005. And we're really fortunate because 12 years later, we have 70,000 companies that use our product. Many in this room, we really appreciate your support. And some of our first customers were actually in the media space. So using Box to be able to share and collaborate and get work done and be able to use us as sort of a cloud content management platform. And now we're in about 60% of the Fortune 500. So that was really exciting. And it was really because of those three trends that we identified and continued to kind of innovate based on that. But what's interesting is those trends have completely changed enterprise software. So many of us in this room are probably using products like Slack. Facebook has a new product called Workplace. So it's completely changing enterprise software, this idea that we're all on the internet, we can work from anywhere, computing is really, really cheap and easy. And these trends are completely changing the technology industry. But what I think we're all recognizing, and actually media was effectively the first space to really deal with this, is that we're seeing that these same technology trends are changing every other industry. So, you know, of course, if you're in the hospitality industry, the networked economy, the fact that everybody's on the internet and they can share assets and they can be able to rent out their home to anyone is completely disruptive to the hospitality industry. Netflix is obviously one that I think everyone is experiencing in some either positive or certainly complicated way in the media space. So complete disruption of the traditional media delivery model. And industries that used to be really, they would not have been able to be penetrated a few years ago, but banking, whether that's online banking, payments, stock transactions. So even the financial services industry now at this point is being attacked. And then, of course, we know automotive with on-demand and self-driving cars. So every single industry we can tell is going through this pretty significant transformation. So we all know that businesses are trying to go digital. And I think that's why we're all in this room. And again, media really has sort of been at the center of this for quite some time. But we also know that it's really not that easy. And a lot of it really depends on how sort of, you know, expansive your legacy is. So how long has your company been around? How long have the operations been around? But it's really not that easy to go digital. And the reason that at least we tend to see a lot of companies sort of fall into this digital trap, and again, it's more pronounced in industries where they haven't been as attacked over the past couple of decades like media has been. And so I think media is actually pretty ahead of the curve on this. But what we find is when we go talk to big industrial companies, whether it's car makers or life sciences companies and a range of industries, what the initial instinct is we're going to go digital by just building some software and putting it on top of our existing products. We're not going to rethink the product. We're not going to rethink the business. We're just going to deliver what we have always been doing through now a digital medium, whether that's a website, a mobile app, some kind of digital experience. And that fundamentally misses the mark, because Netflix isn't a better experience because they have better app designers. I mean, it is true that they build a really, really great digital experience, but it's better because it's fundamentally a modern business, and every single thing about the business has been rebuilt from the ground up. And so if you think, or at least built from the ground up without any of that baggage. So if you think about the first disruption that I think we all saw happen with Netflix, every single element and capability of Netflix was different from their incumbent. So if you look at Netflix versus Blockbuster, Blockbuster was limited to physical stores. They had a business model where the profit margin fundamentally came from late fees. They had fundamentally limited supply, so they couldn't have a lot of inventory because of the physical real estate. Very little product innovation, so the speed of the product development never really changed because of the physical store. And it was a mass market product. You basically could get just whatever products were in your local Blockbuster. And so Netflix sort of was able, and they could afford to step back and say, what really can we deliver here that's disruptive? Well, you should be able to get any amount of movies from anywhere. You shouldn't have to pay late fees. You should have an infinite supply of content, so nothing should ever run out. And the product should always be improving. So we should be updating it pretty frequently. And it should be highly personalized. So we should take all of the data that we get from consumers, and we should make sure that we're delivering a personalized experience with recommendations and show people exactly what they want. So this was sort of the kind of core premise of Netflix even before online streaming. And because they started with such a fundamentally different premise than their incumbent, they were able to then go and build on top of that in a way that was truly unstoppable once they had disrupted Blockbuster. Now to the point, obviously, where they're creating their own content or procuring their own content. They're going into now, I think, about 100 countries all around the world. There's no physical limitation. And it's really flipping the business model on its head. And it's not because they built better software or had better engineers or designers or developers. It's because they fundamentally rethought the very business of media, all the way to the point where now it's effectively a full-stack media company. So that's I think, what we already all know. So the question is, why is it difficult to do this? Why is it difficult for incumbents to go and reinvent themselves? And this is where we can take some lessons from sources like Innovator's Dilemma, Clay Christensen, where you can kind of start to understand why is this so difficult. And the challenge that we tend to find is that the very things that have made businesses really successful, let's say over the past century, are now the things that are either completely neutralized, so anybody can do them, or they're actually fundamentally baggage in holding back the innovation that's possible. So if you think about it, let's just go through just a couple very briefly, but what we tend to see from a lot of incumbents that we work with, you have an established partner network, and you can only evolve at the same speed that your established value network and value chain is updating as well. So you're dependent on a bunch of partners that are equally dealing with disruption and equally not as modernized as they need to be. You have sort of talent that is operating in a very particular kind of way with a particular set of processes, with a particular set of skills. That's obviously, you know, can be very taxing and sometimes slow down the organization. A lot of larger companies have gotten by through just growing by growing profit, which means that you invest in process and you invest in making process more efficient as opposed to investing in innovation. This is what's happening to a lot of banks, for instance, where there's very little differentiation among any of the banks, and that's simply because they're all just trying to extract out as much margin as possible, not necessarily drive product innovation. At least in if you're building physical things, we tend to be used to a world where you have three-year product cycles, where it's about sort of very waterfall-based development of product, and you only get to find out at the end of that three- or four-year period if the product was actually successful. You have no sort of interim steps. You have no interim ways of being able to pivot or change the ultimate product you're creating. Certainly, if you're in, again, any kind of retail business, then you're highly limited and constrained to physical branches. That also meant that a lot of your operations just were about being able to deploy those physical branches. How do you run them? And now, with the internet, distribution is effectively free and infinite. So that physical presence is maybe useful, but not necessarily a huge advantage. You have very well-defined ways of working. I think this is incredibly true in Hollywood in particular, where there's a lot of workflows that haven't fundamentally been reinvented for the digital age, where we're still using the same procedures, same methods, same way of working with each other and across our organizations as we have been for the past 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And all of these things are then creating, ultimately, huge strains on how we manage information, how we work with data. We have lots and lots of silos of information. If you think about all of the places where anyone in your organization has to go to make decisions or be able to find the thing that they need, this has been kind of built up over the past couple of decades and now is fundamentally, holding us back in some pretty significant ways. So the very things that made us successful are now huge limiters. And it's coming at a pretty difficult time because the rules are changing and those things are now baggage on our business. So what we tend to see, again, is as especially bigger companies think about going digital, if they have been around for a long time and they've been structured in a particular way, we tend to see this sort of jump to, okay, well, if we just built this modern digital experience, then fundamentally we're going to be able to go and deliver value for our customer in this modern way, and I'll be able to build an Uber or a Lyft or an Airbnb or a Netflix of my industry. And what that misses is actually how, in at least Silicon Valley, but other technology companies, how we actually operate and run in a very different kind of way, where the application is really just the instantiation of our overall digital experience. So, you know, the app that any of us are using on our phones is really just one endpoint of the overall digital experience that has to be created. And if you look under the hood and you say, well, how do you create those digital experiences? It's usually fundamentally enabled by digital business models, where if you don't have the business model built in a way that works for the digital era, then you're never going to be able to create truly a digital experience. And this is true in media, it's true in automotive, it's true in banking. And you're not going to really be able to get to a digital business model if we don't have a digital operating model. And so what we're seeing is that a lot of organizations jump straight to the application, or at best, the digital experience, without fundamentally rethinking what is it about running a technology company or being able to be in a sort of modern digital environment that allows these companies to have constant innovation, a constant pace of change, and be able to operate in a pretty different way. And so what I wanted to do is just dive in pretty quickly into some of the things that we sort of see as characteristics of the digital operating model and what sort of you have to start to attack at the core of the organization if you're truly going to drive and experience digital transformation. So to get there, let's just quickly kind of pass through from the digital experience side. I think we all kind of recognize what we want out of digital experiences. We want them to be incredibly simple, right? If you think about any of the experiences that we know and love in digital products, it's really about simplicity. Less is more. It's really about engagement. So in our industry, as an example, Our incumbents, what they were trying to do is jam as many features as humanly possible into the traditional software that people would use to be able to store and manage and collaborate around content. And what we realized was all of those features were actually reducing engagement from end users. So we sort of flipped it on its head and we said, actually, what matters most is, are you solving the problem for users? And this is certainly just as true in the media space, which is your product ultimately engaging and solving exactly what the customer is really looking for and nothing more? One of the things that I think we all have to contend with is that we're no longer compared, our products are no longer compared with just the products of our peer organizations. Our products are compared with every digital experience, right? When you load your phone, you're comparing Uber against Netflix against Airbnb. And that's something that was really never before happening, right? When you used to compare media companies, you just compared what channels or you go to a theater and what movies are out there. But digital experiences are compared against every single industry. And so we really have to think through what is it about these digital experiences that are so powerful and how do you create them? But you can only do that if you have a digital business model. There's no digital experience that we're going to be able to create if our fundamental business models don't get reinvented as well. And this obviously has been incredibly supported and I think well received by the media industry broadly. So if you think about subscription services or on-demand billing, this has been one of the I think most positive changes and disruptions in the media space. So I'd say the media industry sort of represents the ideal example of an industry transforming in this way. But you want to be able to price your products for usage, for micro-purchases. You want to be very asset light, so the ability to just be able to deliver what you need as you need it. Very modular architectures, so we're sort of out of the era of I want to shove as many different components of the product into one experience. And then ultimately, you have to be able to go directly to the customer. And I think this is obviously top of mind for most media organizations. But how do you build a relationship with your end client? That's the only way that we're going to be able to get the data and analytics that we need to be able to continue to improve the experience, be able to make the right decisions for them. And that can only happen if you actually have an ongoing relationship with your client. So digital business model is what powers that digital experience. And so what creates the digital business model? And we think that's running a company and an organization in a way that is sort of modern and digitally oriented. And so if you kind of look under the hood and you say, so fundamentally, how did a company like Netflix work differently than Blockbuster or a traditional media company? How does a company like Airbnb work fundamentally different from Hilton or Marriott? How does a company like Lyft work completely differently from someone like Ford or GM? And I think when you look under the hood, you see some very, very different characteristics of how these organizations operate. And that is what allows them to ultimately go out and create these amazing digital experiences. So the first is, of course, you have to be highly responsive and highly agile. So the way that information moves to the organization is faster than any other possible type of organization, which is I have to be able to make decisions incredibly quickly, and we have to be able to reorganize incredibly quickly because of that. It also means that we're going to leverage our extended ecosystem of partners. Now, this is, I think, not a constraint in the media space because so many projects deal with freelancers and creative teams and ad agencies and PR agencies from different organizations. So that ability to leverage an extended ecosystem, I think, is already native in the media space. You also have to be able to create an environment where the best idea wins, right? The days of sort of command and control structures doesn't work in the digital age. The world is moving too quickly. There are too many great ideas, and any organization that's not able to extract those ideas out of the right people at the right time, they're not going to be able to win. You also need to be able to have products that can be continuously innovated. So this means they have to change as the user behavior changes. That means you have to be able to drive constant A/B testing. This means that we have to be able to use data to inform our decisions. And ultimately, all of this is only possible if we have IT and if we have our technology systems as an enabler to driving all of this. And this is ultimately why I think the IT side matters so much, which is technology is going to be the foundation of how we're going to be able to actually operate in this way. And so we need the tools, the systems, the services that can, at the very base of the business, if we're going to drive this digital operating model. And so some of the big trends that we think about at Box, certainly, and I think this is true of many organizations here and certainly throughout Silicon Valley, but when we think kind of where is the world going, there's a few big ideas that certainly we pay a lot of attention to. So the first is you're going to need to be able to work in real time anywhere with anyone on any information you need. That has to be sort of rule number one if you're building a digital operating model. Rule number two is you have to be able to work across boundaries. So this ability to share seamlessly on a single platform without going through lots of different silos and lots of different systems is going to be pretty fundamental if we're going to be able to work in this digital era. We need to be able to break down hierarchies. So we need to be able to have a flat organization that lets people share and communicate and get to the information they need to make the best decisions. And this is only going to be possible if we have the tools that enable this. We also need to be able to drive data-driven decision making. This doesn't mean changing, you know, a movie script because there's some analytics that say that this word would be better. This doesn't affect the creative process, but fundamentally it needs to affect the kinds of products that we ultimately create, how we deliver them to customers, through what markets, in what regions. And so we need to be able to use way more data as we're making decisions across every single industry. And of course, we have a policy at Box. I can't do a presentation without talking about AI. This is sort of just a Silicon Valley thing that we have to talk about. But I think you're going to see the sort of data combined with some form of intelligence, some form of machine learning that's going to make our systems much smarter, that will in turn make us be able to make way better decisions. We'll be able to operate much more effectively. Obviously, the end result can go as far as, again, Netflix and products like Netflix being able to recommend exactly what you want to watch when you want to watch it. And then finally, IT as a growth driver. So if your organization, if your team, if your business is thinking about IT as a cost center, and it's about how do I drive down costs from the operations as opposed to how do I drive up growth? How do I get product into more places? How do I get more of an audience? How do I leverage the data that I have to be able to reach more people and be able to monetize more effectively? Then I think we're doing IT wrong. So fundamentally, we have to use IT as a growth driver across every single way that we're going to be running these modern operations. That's how we do it in Silicon Valley. I think that's going to be incredibly necessary in the media space. And this is really just the start, right? If you think about all of the trends coming out of Silicon Valley and beyond in the tech industry, there is an unbelievable amount of transformation happening. This is, I think, truly the most exciting time ever to be in technology, to be in IT, because of how much is changing. You literally have effectively every major technology company working on all of our behalf to build the best tools and systems and APIs for us to be able to work off of. Just one very small example, if you go back about a month, Google launched an API for computer vision, for video as well as images. The fact that we have access, all of us have access to an API of the world's largest neural network for image data and for video data, where now you could throw up a video into the cloud and instantly it can tell us every single word that was used. You can jump right to the right moment. We can see what's inside of our content. This is an unbelievable period, right? This is the ability to leverage so many different capabilities and technologies in our software, in our workplaces, in the tools that we're building. So this is a very special time. And we think fundamentally to succeed in the digital age, we all have to operate like digital companies, and we all have to be able to adopt digital operating models. So with that, I'd like to thank you very much for your time. We are very excited to be here and kind of chat with everyone. Of course, if we can ever be helpful as you're thinking about transforming your organization or the way that your teams work, you know how to reach us. So thank you.
Aaron Levy.